Exploring the Lord's Prayer, as if exploring a great house. A reading from Lord Teach Us to Pray, published by Parva Press. Forgive us our trespasses, a fresh, clean start. A humble, though essential room in any great house is the boot room. A room full of pegs and racks, hats and coats, boots and shoes of every kind and size. Although the great doors will be open and the carpet rolled out on occasion, this humble boot room is the essential way in for family members. Nearby will be found a washroom. It may be outside in the courtyard or in the house very near the boot room. Together, these practical rooms make it possible for household members to be made acceptable in the house. For you enter the house not across velvet lawns, but across real lawns, with worm casts and mud. You enter from the mess of the stables or the mud of the estate, and these humble rooms are the way in. Here you wash and leave behind your soiled boots and your outer clothing. Garb totally unacceptable within the house. It is simply not acceptable to sit at table on a beautifully embroidered seat, unwashed, in dirty boots and muddy overtrousers. Our Heavenly Father, too, has made provision for those soiled by the real world in which we live, provision for us to be made acceptable. The rooms are rooms of mercy, cleansing, and forgiveness, and all true members of the household must pass this way, and do so often. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, the forgiveness of little things and the forgiveness of very great things. Our Father's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of others. We look first at the beginning of this petition. God's forgiveness of us. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our wrongdoing. Such a prayer is basic to our spiritual well-being and standing before God. We must first come into our Heavenly Father's presence, as our Lord has taught us, and simply pray, forgive us our trespasses, our sins. But what does that actually mean? Set us free from our total debt is closer to the Greek. But even so, what is our debt to God our Heavenly Father? What debt do we owe to the one in whose hand is our very breath, and to whom we owe our very existence? We owe him love. He brought us into being for his pleasure, to give him glory in our lives, and to enjoy him for ever. We owe him a debt of love, practically expressed in doing what pleases him. We owe him a willingness to refrain from all that would pollute us before him, to steer clear of all that we know to be active disobedience or rebellion against him. However, by nature, we tend to ignore what God requires, doing what we want, and failing to do his will. Our Heavenly Father has commanded us to love him with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength, to put him first. But who among us has truly so loved him? Religious words may slip easily from our lips, but what of the basic self-centeredness of our day-by-day living? When King David prayed his great prayer of confession, which we find in Psalm 32, he did not say, "Blessed is the man who has not sinned, who has no need of forgiveness," but rather, "Blessed is the one whose sin is forgiven, whose debt is paid." Where, then, does the forgiveness, the clearing of our debt, begin? Paul the Apostle speaks of the disciples at Corinth as having been taken from a very grubby world, washed and set apart for God by the cross of our Lord. The Apostle's list of the goings-on in that port city of Corinth are as ancient as they are modern. Greed, theft, drunkenness, violence, perversion, and vice are all there. The church at Corinth was composed of men and women taken from such a background, and yet now, wonderfully, forgiven, adopted, and made members of God's holy family. The Apostle Paul uses the picture of washing as he describes how they were made clean, made acceptable before our Heavenly Father. So here, in the great house, are these very practical rooms, washrooms and bathrooms. We may need to begin first in an outside wash house, for some of us are as well soiled as a dog that has rolled and besmirched itself in some canine delight that brings no delight to its owner, and indeed makes it totally unacceptable in the house. A stench, a stink in the nostrils of God, is exactly how sin, how godless ways are described in the Old Testament. We may never have so deliberately soiled ourselves. And yet, no matter how privileged, how well brought up, how respectable we may be, when our eyes are opened, each one of us will find ourselves soiled and unacceptable before God. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, was both noble and godly, and yet, when face to face with the glory and holiness of the Lord, he found himself totally unacceptable, ruined, and undone. The memorial stone of a godly and respected local Victorian squire simply begins with a verse, "God have mercy upon me, a sinner." Words that reflect his own plea before God, and leave a signpost and an encouragement for those who read them today. Why do we need forgiveness? What makes even the most privileged and refined of us totally unacceptable before God? Why are all our best efforts and fairest offerings only filthy rags? Our need of forgiveness is hard for us to see for a number of reasons. For one, if we're not guilty of specific acts like murder, theft, or adultery, we assume we must be fine. Then again, we're so ready and eager to forgive ourselves that we cover over, or make a very small matter, of any slight indiscretion before God. Why, it's hardly worth noticing. And we could always provide a thousand reasons why we really could not help it, or why it was not our fault. The fact is that we stand accused by precisely these deep-seated, self-centred habits of mind and body, to which we are by nature totally blind. At rock bottom, we need forgiveness because by nature we live in God's world as if there were no God. Perhaps not in the great crises of life, or when we desperately need something. But by and large, we ignore the God in whose hand is our breath. In the words of the Lord's Prayer, we fail to honour him, fail to seek first his kingdom and right ways, fail to do his will, much preferring to do our own will. We also fail to love those around us in the way in which we love ourselves. These are the self-centred, God-ignoring ways that the Bible calls sin, a stink, and that cause us to be totally unacceptable before Almighty God, the righteous judge, and so in desperate need of mercy and forgiveness. The true sons and daughters of God are like street children, taken from the filth and violence and vice of the city, and adopted into a royal household. The first step is a complete wash and change of clothes. Here is mercy. Here is the forgiveness of God. Here we're given a fresh new start. Thereafter begins the very gradual, faltering process of a total change in the basis of our thinking and acting. We slowly learn to love the Lord who made us acceptable and adopted us into his family. We begin to long to please him, to put the Lord God, rather than ourselves, at the centre.
God, our Heavenly Father, has made it wonderfully possible for each one of us to be made acceptable before him, no matter how soiled. We too may be made sons and daughters of the living God, not on the basis of our own goodness, or merit, or worth, but by the mercy and forgiveness of God found in our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this world for our rescue, came to lay down his life for us, for our forgiveness. On this basis, our Father is most willing to forgive. He is more willing to forgive than we are either to admit our need of forgiveness or to humbly ask for it. This is the great and primary application of these words. We'll often need to return to confess and wash away the grime of real everyday living in this world as a child of God. But never again for this radical treatment that first brings us into the household. Heavenly Father, forgive us our trespasses. Have mercy on us. Write off our debts once and for all. Put us right with yourself. May we, like the ancient Corinthian Christians, be washed and made acceptable before you.